Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4M Print. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 174, Growth Hacking. This episode is presented by 4M Print Incorporated Customer Service Manager, Brandon Manthey.
Growth hacking. Hear the word hack, and it'll likely conjure up thoughts of computer hackers forcefully making their way into a computer system to take or manipulate data. If you hear the term growth hacker, are you to extrapolate a similar concept with growth? If so, how does one hack growth? Growth hacking is a relatively new strategy in business, and like computer hackers, growth hackers do their work swiftly but strategically, and data is their friend. What exactly is growth hacking? While the term can be defined in a broad sense, growth hacking differs from company to company. It's marketing, yet it's not. It's engineering, yet it's not. What growth hacking does is use data to put focus on reaching people, generating leads, and growing companies quickly. This podcast will define growth hacking by giving examples of successful hacks, describe the phases of growth hacking, identify traits of successful growth hackers, and provide techniques to start growth hacking in your company. The term growth hacker was coined in 2010 by startup entrepreneur and angel investor Sean Ellis from a concept born with startup companies that didn't excel in marketing or have the dollars to hire a marketer or a marketing consultant. In describing a growth hacker, Ellis said it was neither a marketing replacement nor someone better than a marketer. A growth hacker is simply different from a marketer. Whereas a marketer looks at the big picture, a growth hacker hones in on a single, usually digital, focus to achieve a single goal, company growth. While growth may be the result of a growth hacker's efforts, the speed at which these hackers achieve the growth is far faster than traditional means. A growth hacker begins with focus on a single metric, takes a technology-centric approach, leverages multiple disciplines to identify insights, and finds a workable solution. A growth hacker may use traditional marketing methods, but he or she is more likely to implement innovative ideas. In the case of growth hacking, innovation doesn't necessarily mean complex. Looking back at business success, growth hacking can be identified well before the term came into vogue. Hotmail often is cited as one of the best examples of growth hacking. By simply adding the phrase, "P.S. I love you, get your free email at Hotmail," to emails in 1996, the startup boasted 3,000 new users in one day, grew to 1 million users within 6 months, and was purchased by Microsoft within 18 months when it logged 8.5 million users. Other social media platforms followed with their own growth hacking strategy. Twitter added more than 60,000 users in one day with one data point: the fact that new users were more likely to return to the social media platform if they followed a minimum of 10 people upon signing up. Twitter excelled at signing up new users by including suggestions of people to follow as part of their sign-up process. The secret to growth hacking is the willingness and ability to be nimble and creative, because your growth hack probably won't look like one from the business across the street or from your biggest competitor. In addition, growth hacking may likely be the most exciting and most frustrating business venture you've ever done, as it involves testing and possibly failing. No matter what your product or service, you'll get the most out of growth hacking with the following four guidelines. Number one, before you can attract users, you need a good product. Traditionally, marketing kicks in after the product is developed, leaving marketers scrambling if the product doesn't fit the market. Successful growth hacking needs a great product, so step one is to test and improve the product. Number two, have an executive cheerleader, ideally the founder or CEO. Growth hacking often strays into methods that are unconventional or controversial. You need the ability to experiment without constraints. Number three, have measurable, trackable goals. And number four, find your hack. Hacks are opportunities. What opportunity can you leverage to get more users? Find it, optimize it, and be able to discard it if you hit a dead end. To reiterate, growth hacking cannot reverse a decline of a poor product. It's more like adding fuel to a fire, in a good way. Like Twitter's example, it works best when it builds on success, using small changes on an already established user base. Growth hacking is important to companies in both stages of development, startup and those established and looking to grow. Traditional marketing tools are seen as both expensive and unreliable, whereas growth hacking is inexpensive and has proven success. Melinda Byerly, in a VentureBeat article, describes two of the most famous growth hackers, Andy Johns and Sean Ellis, who have very different approaches. Neither approach is wrong, but each has its place in companies with specific needs. Byerly describes each approach using the analogy of the California Gold Rush. In her analogy, there is a prospector and a miner. The prospector, or Sean Ellis, does his best in startup or early stage companies to find a product market fit. The miner, or Andy Johns, does well in large or fast-growing businesses. Miners excavate data and turn learnings into new growth. Mix the two by putting the prospector into an established company or vice versa, and you may find your strategy headed for failure. Make a miner do prospecting, and he or she will spend time digging without striking it rich. Likewise, a prospector told to mine gold will spend time looking for silver. Therefore, not everyone is fit to be a growth hacker. It takes a person or team that possesses a myriad of soft skills that complement hard, technology-based skills. Successful growth hackers are often identified by the following traits. Number one, they're creative. Growth hackers must be naturally curious and good at problem-solving. They ask questions and find answers. They also are creative in finding inexpensive answers and are able to deploy new tactics without a big budget to sustain them. Number two, they're open-minded. Sometimes great ideas are counterintuitive, so those who are rigid in their beliefs may likely miss great opportunities. Open-mindedness is also key because growth hacking is constantly evolving. What worked for one product may not work for another, or what worked 6 months ago may not work today. Number three, they think for themselves. Growth hackers need to be skeptical of company truths and test their own theories by using and testing data. Number four, they're quick learners. Growth hacking doesn't involve strategic planning or action mapping. Instead, they work quickly in the now. To that end, they need a variety of skills, from copywriting to data mining. Not all growth hackers are deep in all skills, so they have to adapt and learn new skills quickly. Number five, they're tech and data savvy. They analyze and measure data with an understanding of search engine optimization, social media marketing, conversion rates, and digital marketing. Number six, they're team players. Growth hackers don't have big egos because they can't generate ideas and implement them. They need a team to design, execute, measure, and improve. Number seven, they're focused and disciplined. Either they or a team working for them need excellent detail-oriented project management skills that include follow-through. And number eight, they've got grit. Growth hacking may lead to failure, many times. Hackers need the tenacity to keep trying. You're about ready to get started. You have a great product, a leader who supports you, and a hack-worthy team behind you. Now what? Josh Schwartzappel, who has experience on a growth hacking team, says there are three things you should do in the first month of your project. First, focus on one metric. A hotel may focus on nights booked. A social media content team may focus on increased engagements. By starting out with one metric, the team can prioritize, focus, and allow for contributions from all members. Second, get high-impact wins and spread the word. You will have doubters, so you'll want to pick a metric that you can change quickly. Test copy or implement calls to action. When you have a win, promote the results. And third, invest in the right tools. Simple, quick wins should create compound interest with many small or medium wins rather than fewer large ones. For this, you need tools to help you identify and mine wins quickly. The tools will differ from company to company, so watch what others are doing to get referrals on the best tools for your data analysis. Once you have a baseline metric for which to move the needle, you'll need specific tactics. The ideas are endless, but again, they don't have to be complex. Analytics expert Neil Patel says one way to move the needle is to develop a content marketing strategy. The following three tactics may be included in your content strategy. Number one, write a blog and promote it. Even in our harried, busy world, people crave good content. Number two, guest blog. In the same vein, Patel also suggests writing guest posts on websites that fit your niche. Pitch the site owners, write a post, and promote it to your users. And number three, engage online personally. Develop your social profiles carefully to enhance your personal brand, with the intent to become a celebrity in your own right. Patel also says to look past the social media hype to a more traditional digital communication technique, email. The number of email users exceeds that of social media, and it's still most effective at lead generation. A simple growth hack is creating an email opt-in function on your website. Patel cautions that the data growth hackers seek may not always come in forms of numbers. Data may include content performance or customer information. Traditional analytics platforms and dashboards may not be enough. Dig deep and find data that is actionable. Once you land on a tactic, don't rest on your laurels on initial results, whether good or bad. Do further testing. If you've decided to send an email or post on a social media platform, do A/B testing by changing the content, reviewing the results, and improving based upon what you learn. Finally, if you've had a successful growth hack, find a way for your past and new users to help do the heavy lifting. Dropbox did it by giving users more storage space when they referred friends. Find what works for you and your new users. As marketer Ryan Holiday says, it's the growth hacker's job to engineer virality. Traditional marketing efforts often cost significant amounts of money, so that failures can be disastrous to a company. Holiday argues in favor of growth hacking because it's cheap, effective, and practical. He says, quote, "Instead of putting the cart before the horse and promoting a half-baked idea, growth hackers are intimately involved in product development. Instead of chasing vague notions like branding or awareness, a growth hacker drives users and clients. Instead of spending money, growth hackers look for scalable growth from viral factors and social sharing. Finally, instead of hoping these things magically happen and customers organically stick around, they ruthlessly optimize and improve efforts based on data." Unquote. You shouldn't expect growth hacking to be easy, but if done right with the right team, it may likely be the most effective way to drive growth at your company.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on growth hacking. As always, keep on the lookout for future podcasts and make sure to check out our 4imprint podcast archive at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.